When President Trump's executive order on immigration was put in place last month, one of the concerns raised by many in the healthcare industry was that restricting the flow of immigrants from the seven countries listed in the travel ban could exacerbate a shortage of primary care doctors, especially doctors that serve in rural or low-income areas. Roughly one in four doctors in the U.S. come from other countries, and the American Medical Association, in a statement reacting to the travel ban, pointed out that immigrant doctors in particular play a crucial role in serving in rural and low-income areas. We're joined now by Dr. Jerry Cruz. He's dean and provost of the Southern Illinois University School of Medicine. Dr. Cruz, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being with me this morning.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Dr. Cruz, according to one study that we were looking at, a 2016 study by the Association of American Medical Colleges, there's currently a deficit of about 8,200 primary care doctors and 2,800 psychiatrists in the U.S. Do you have a sense that this will get worse if this travel ban restricts foreign-born doctors from entering the U.S.?
Well, first of all, I'd say that those numbers are probably low. Those shortages are greater than you mentioned.
Wow.
There. And also, yes, you know, the healthcare system the healthcare education system that we've developed is one that does produce somewhere between 15% and 25% doctors who are born in foreign countries. They're an integral part of that system, and certainly the primary care coverage would be hurt if there was an immigration ban.
Dr. Cruz, can we talk about Illinois in particular and what it looks like for us across our state? Do we have a shortage of doctors in rural areas?
We do have a shortage of doctors in rural areas. Actually, the shortage of doctors is defined best by the Council on Graduate Medical Education of the Department of Health and Human Service federally. That's the best planning organization for physician workforce. They don't focus on other healthcare professionals, but just physicians. And they've very clearly shown that the shortages that we have are in primary care, family medicine, general internal medicine, geriatrics. There are shortages in all types of psychiatry, geriatric, general, and child psychiatry. And we're getting growing shortages now in general surgery and pediatric subspecialties as well. So we have good evidence that these very types of shortages that the Council on Graduate Medical Education has identified are also operative in the state of Illinois, too.
Dr. Cruz, there may be a feeling from some people that they don't understand why these jobs can't be held by Americans. And I wonder, or people who are born in this country, and I wonder, what does it look like when we think about the need and how many people who are born in the U.S. are going to medical school? Are there enough people entering now, or is this a shortage that has traditionally for a long time been held by people who are coming from other countries to work here?
Yeah, it's a long, long tradition right now, and I guess tradition may not be the right word. It's just the system that has developed. For some period of time, there was clearly a shortage of medical students that were produced by United States medical schools, but we've really ramped that up in the past two decades. Actually, the medical schools that were in operation 20 years ago are now producing at least 10% more physicians than they did at that time. And also, since the year 2000, we have about 40 new schools of medicine and osteopathy in the United States, too. And you put those things together, and we have had about a 20% increase in U.S.-born medical students who graduate from U.S. medical schools. But here are the numbers on the postgraduate training. Now, you know, medical students have to go to residency programs or fellowships in order to get their specialty training, even their specialty training in primary care. And so we have about 28,000 positions a year for residency training right out of medical school. We have about 18,000 graduates from U.S. medical schools every year. And then we fill the other spots, 3,000 with doctors of osteopathy, 3,000 with U.S. citizens who are trained in foreign countries, and about 4,000 foreign-born international medical graduates, which again is running at about 15%. When we look at the numbers, and we look at the numbers of applicants from the United States into medical school, it really looks like only about 1,000 or 2,000 of those who don't get in might be qualified applicants. So there's no way we could fill that 10,000 physician gap with the current number of students who are applying to U.S. medical schools. It just wouldn't happen.
So there's not a sense that there are people who are applying and they're competing with foreign students and they're not getting in. That's not happening.
Well, there are some, but it doesn't seem to be a major significant problem. There is a little bit of that, but we could not fill all of those spots with U.S. applicants at this point. It would take some number of years, maybe even decades, to get to that point.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you mentioned, students, I'm thinking about Senator Durbin brought a guest with him last night to President Trump's joint address to Congress. It was actually a medical student at Loyola University in Chicago. They say they were the first medical school in the country to welcome DACA, that's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival Students. Her name's Aima Saeed. She's a dreamer. She was brought here from Pakistan when she was three. I want to just play a little piece of a conversation she had on Facebook Live with Senator Durbin.
You have about 25 or 30 fellow students at Loyola Medical School who are in the same situation.
Yeah.
And what do they say?
They have a lot of anxiety. They have a lot of fears. So they're just hoping for the best, but definitely they're scared.
That's Aima talking about her colleagues who are also medical students who are dreamers. And she went on to explain how she's agreed to work in an underserved area in Illinois after she graduates.
I basically agreed to do 4 years of service in an underserved or rural area in Illinois. And so that I would do that after my training, after I complete my residency.
So it's kind of a bargain.
Yeah.
We help you get educated. You become a doctor, then come back to help us in parts of Illinois where we don't have enough doctors.
Yeah, but it's a pretty nice bargain if you ask me.
That's Aima Saeed. She's a medical student at Loyola University in Chicago, a dreamer, talking to Senator Durbin, of course, author of the DREAM Act. Dr. Cruz, when you hear Aima's story, I wonder when you look at your medical school, when you think about Southern Illinois University, about the issue of dreamers, how much of that is part of the equation we haven't talked about yet? Because we've been sort of talking about the travel ban. We haven't talked about students who may have, or young people who may have been brought here as children who may be dreamers or deferred action who also want to go to medical school.
Well, that certainly resonates with me. We need people like her, for sure, and we need programs like the one that Senator Durbin described. I don't know particularly what the situation is at the Southern Illinois University School of Medicine in our residency programs, but I do know that of our 330 resident physicians and fellows, 25% are foreign-born. They bring a rich cultural diversity and heritage and bring great advantages to our School of Medicine and to the care of our patients, for sure. And I would like to give them every advantage to fill those spots to treat medically vulnerable people and people who just don't have the greatest chance for medical care throughout the state of Illinois.
And I wonder for you, when we think about not just dreamers, questions about, we know we've heard some news in the past 24 hours about what President Trump is going to do in terms of the executive order regarding the previously now overturned travel ban. But are you worried about all of this conversation, whether it's about dreamers or students or the travel ban and immigrants? Are you concerned that people might even decide to not apply to medical school or for residency or for finding jobs within the U.S., foreign-born doctors?
We are absolutely concerned about them applying for residency programs. You know, just the threat of that will already have a negative effect that will last for years to come. I think when the immigration ban was first announced, my cell phone was buzzing and ringing like crazy from people who were concerned about this, and not only from the seven countries. There's worry that it will be expanded to other countries, on that list for countries originating terrorist activities. And so we've actually had to deal with a fair number of our residents and faculty members who wanted to travel or who had spouses or children who wanted to come in, and we've advised them not to do that travel right now. So there's a significant degree of uncertainty at the moment, which does affect applications for the future without question. And we would like to see this resolved as quickly as possible for all people.
And when you think about the long-term effects also, one of our producers was reading a story in Stat News about an Iranian medical student at UIC, the University of Illinois in Chicago, saying being worried about systemic discrimination against foreign-born doctors. Is that a concern also? I imagine part of the phone, that's a medical doctor, actually, a resident at UIC. Is that a concern also? I imagine, are you hearing that from your residents?
I will just say this, that we have a very broad conversation and a number of programs at the Southern Illinois University School of Medicine that focus on equity, diversity, and inclusion. And so we know that it relates to the question that you asked me, and we know that it relates to other issues related to race for sure. I will just tell you that we're focusing in on that, and we're getting our faculty and residents and students trained in dismantling systemic racism. We think that is very, very important for our institution going forward, and we would hope that all institutions, medical schools and institutions of higher learning, would follow that cue as we move forward.
Dr. Cruz, as you think about SIU School of Medicine, as you think about this whole issue of rural health care, how do you want people who are outside of what you are doing on a daily basis to think about this, the role that immigrant doctors are playing throughout most of the state? Because we're looking particularly in smaller towns or more rural areas or in poor areas.
Okay, so the SIU School of Medicine, when it was founded in 1970, one of our foundational principles was social accountability to a defined population. That's the 66 southwesternmost counties in the state of Illinois, 2.2 million people, and as I said, 66 counties. Since SIU has been here, we've graduated about 2,500 resident physicians and fellows and a comparable number of medical students. And a large percentage of them have settled in that 66-county area. Again, I can't give you the specific numbers of those that are foreign-born. They're just part of the fabric of our institution. They're part of our core values, for sure. But those doctors that I mentioned and the whole complement of those doctors make up the heart and soul of medical care in 35,000 square miles of the state of Illinois. And I would want everybody to understand that and understand that every one of those doctors is important to the healthcare system and that they help the population have better access to care, better healthcare outcomes, and actually help lower the cost for healthcare.
And would you say that's probably true across most rural areas across the country, not just in Illinois?
You know, I think it probably is. I don't know the data as well for other states, but I would say by and large for pretty much every state that would be true.
And Dr. Cruz, what's your hope that the Trump administration will do when they release these new orders?
Well, my hope would be that they would be just and fair and recognize the importance that the immigrant population has had to the United States historically and recently. You know, I know that I'm thinking about the doctors for the people that we serve, but it goes well beyond just the physicians. It goes to all people who are in this situation right now. And I just I just hope for, again, equity, justice, and fairness.
Dr. Jerry Cruz is Dean and Provost of Southern Illinois University's School of Medicine. He's also the CEO of SIU Healthcare. Dr. Cruz, thanks for being with me. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks so much.
Coming up on the 21st, all this week we've been talking about sexual assault, sexual violence on college campuses. Today, in our final conversation, we turn our attention to Title IX. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to the 21st.